And that leaves us with item number 878 from the consent agenda, which was pulled.
Pay bodily injury lawsuit of Daniel Martinez in the sum of $15,000 involving the Portland Police Bureau.
Very good. And who pulled this item?
Dan Hendelman.
Dan did. And do we have somebody from the Police Bureau here to, or from Risk Management? Oh, very good. Dan, why don't we hear from you first, just so we understand what your questions are, and then we can hear from the other folks. Why don't you come on up, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm Dan Hendelman with Portland Cop Watch, and I actually would prefer for the presentation to happen before I speak, because I think...
If that's the case, I'm happy to do it that way.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Come on up. Good morning. Thank you for being here, and if you could just identify yourselves for the record, we'd appreciate it.
My name is Jessica Bird, and I'm a senior liability analyst with Risk Management. And today I brought with me Acting Lieutenant Nathan Shepard with Professional Standards.
Thanks, Lieutenant.
This lawsuit arises out of a suspect misidentification. On November 13th, 2016, Mr. Martinez was walking on a sidewalk downtown at the tail end of a procession of protesters who were engaged in an anti-Trump march. Three nights earlier, a protester had caused significant property damage to city businesses by smashing their property with a baseball bat. A Portland police officer observed Mr. Martinez in the crowd and broadcast over the police radio that they believed they had identified the suspect from the earlier property damage case. Mr. Martinez was taken to the ground, handcuffed, and released 20 minutes later when it was determined he was not the suspect in the property damage case. In his October 11th, 2018 lawsuit against the City of Portland and the Portland Police Bureau, Mr. Martinez alleged battery, that the officers ignored his complaints, that his handcuffs were too tight, violation of civil rights, and negligent supervision and training. He alleged that as a result of the encounter, he sustained injuries to his knees, chest, left shoulder, nerve damage to both wrists, mental anguish, disruption of sleep, and humiliation. In addition to his medical expenses of $944 and wage loss of $215.25, he demanded non-economic damages totaling $75,000. The parties engaged in a mediation and were able to reach an agreement for $15,000, inclusive of those medical expenses, wage loss, and attorney fees. Approval of this ordinance will allow Risk to pay Mr. Martinez through his attorney for the agreed settlement totaling $15,000.
Very good. It's my understanding, somebody handed me an email earlier that there's been a change to policy since that time?
That's correct. And
so what mine says is it now incorporates a two-officer identification requirement, so it cannot just be one officer. In addition, it looks like on-scene supervisors also have to determine if an arrest is necessary. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And taking into consideration the totality of the circumstances. So it sounds like there has been an effort to address this issue from a policy perspective.
Yes.
Lieutenant, anything else to add?
No, sir.
Okay. Very good. Any questions? All right, we'll hear from Mr. Hendelman. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the presentation.
Once again, Mayor and Commissioner, I'm Dan Hendelman with Portland Cop Watch, and I appreciate having discussion first because now I've learned that at least some of the concerns of our organization may have been addressed by this policy change. I'd read the news article about Mr. Martinez being mistaken for an African-American suspect in this case, and he's Latinx. And there were previous cases that came before the Citizen Review Committee. One of them, I think it was 2014, Lisa Haynes was a African-American woman who was mistaken for a Latino male who was a head taller than she was. And the first case that ever went to City Council through the Citizen Review Committee was a man named Merrick Bonneau, whose brother, Merrick is mixed race, his brother is white, but Merrick was mistaken for his brother, and he was arrested and taken down brutally by the police. So I'm hoping that this new policy is going to stop this from happening, albeit we've only seen a few of these cases stretched out over the years, but these are the ones that we've seen publicly. A lot of these cases happen, we don't hear about them. But also, you know, I'm here 2 weeks after I came before you after pulling a shooting settlement off the consent agenda and saying these are cases that should be talked about in public, and this is exactly why, so that we can learn about the things that the police are doing to make sure these kinds of things won't happen again. I really appreciate that we're having this discussion, but we wouldn't have if I had pulled this off the consent agenda. So I'm hoping, you know, there are a lot of cases of police car accidents, including one that you considered this morning, that come before you. We don't pull them off the agenda to talk about them. They're usually not about misconduct. I counted in the last 2 months six settlements for $358,853 that have come before you. Now, that could be another trend that could be looked at and talked about. I'm not urging that because, you know, we're interested in the accountability issue, but that might be an accountability issue if you're having that many accidents with police cars. And I'm not sure, you know, how much when we had this discussion about Mr. Perkins' settlement a few weeks ago, why there was no discussion among council members about this most serious kind of case with deadly force, whether the city attorney has warned you against seeing anything. I would like to hear them cite a single incident where a discussion at city council about a settlement has adversely affected the outcome, because I really think we need to have, like I said, we really need to have these public discussions about these things. And just following up on what I testified about last week, or we had to submit written testimony, but appreciate Commissioner Fish reading some of that into the record, about the police review board, that cases like this, the officers who misidentify, or the officer who misidentified Mr. Martinez, maybe have had a misconduct investigation done, and an outcome would have been in a police review board report, but we haven't seen a police review board report this year. There's supposed to be two every year under the ordinance. It's now almost the end of September, and there's still no police review board report for this year.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Dan, for your presentation. As you know, normally I pull police settlement agreements off the consent agenda because, like you, I agree that we should have those conversations in public. I did not pull this one because I'd already been informed that you had requested to have it pulled. I absolutely agree that I think risk management needs to do an assessment of just how much money we pay out on settlements for auto accidents, especially because, like you, I'm very concerned that that seems to be just a never-ending process, right? And sometimes it really can't be helped, but I think that there should be service improvements that come about because of that. And any settlement that we're paying out having to do with personal injury to an individual, I agree, should be a public conversation. So thank you for being here.
Still good morning for 5 minutes. Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Charles Bridge Grant Johnson for the record. Mostly, I just want to be on record to thank Mr. Martinez for seeking out Richard Davis and strongly advocating for his civil rights and police accountability. For every one plaintiff that does this, I think that many of us believe, and there's evidence of other people who've had civil rights violations by the police and just have not had the wherewithal to come through and make it go on the record and to get a monetary form of justice, even if they don't see a complete apology. Some of the bigger picture that's evolved with Mr. Handelman's testimony, I think while the OIR report is focused on hopefully prevention and elimination of officer-involved shootings, I think maybe in the future there should be constituent responses, if not from the police department, at least from risk management, so that we also see, in addition to the tragic human impact when people are hit by Portland police bullets, the negative impact that taxpayers have. So I don't know if we've ever paired that information about OIR reviewing in the past which people have been involved in officer-involved shootings, and also at the same time said, and this has led to 14 tort litigations that totaled up to X number of dollars, which of course is a burden borne solely by taxpayers because we don't have police accountability, where individual cops are hardly ever held responsible for their actions. Thank you for your attention to this matter with Mr. Martinez, and I was curious as to how the other larger dollar settlement didn't get pulled, but of course it's just traffic, those are also situations where the bodies and families of our friends and neighbors have incurred pain and trauma, so hopefully we can keep raising the bar and see real progress and a decline on incidents like these. And also, in one of the earlier things, when we talked about the survey and the 50% local approval, we need some baselining information to know how is the city's risk exposure, the amount we're paying out, are we at least doing better than the average for other municipalities in the country, or are we not getting good results from our efforts to manage risk, and we're actually paying out disproportionately high amount compared to other municipalities? Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, Carla, please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Fritz?
It's regrettable this event's happened, and we're sorry, and I'm glad that policy changes have been made. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
This is obviously a regrettable situation, but I want to somewhat disagree. In fact, I want to strenuously disagree with the assumption that police are not held accountable for their actions. This is a situation where, in fact, the police bureau is being held accountable for its actions. As the police commissioner, I get the stack of police discipline memos, and they range from very small transgressions to significant transgressions. And even truthfulness can be a cause for termination of a police officer. And I will just say there is no bureau where individual accountability is taken more seriously, where people are held more accountable than in the police bureau. The second thing I want to mention is that we should not assume malice in this or any other case. It is very possible that the officer thought, with good reason, with good intentions, that this was the correct individual and that they were looking for the individual. It obviously turned out it was not the right individual, and that is a problem. And I'm glad to see that the police bureau, in response to the problem, did change policy to make sure that going forward we don't have this kind of regrettable situation like we did in this particular case. The final thing I want to point out is the reason these come to council as consent items is that this is already a negotiated settlement. This is what the victim in this case, the individual who is wrongly identified as being a perpetrator of a crime, and we all acknowledge that he was wrongly identified, and we're all sorry that he was wrongly identified, but this is what he and his representation have met and agreed to with the city's representation. So really the question before us is, do we accept what they have collectively come to as an amicable or an acceptable agreement, or don't we? That is a separate conversation from the policy discussions that Mr. Handelman raised. He raises legitimate policy questions. I do not deny that. And it is important that we be transparent and clear with the public about how policy is changing to address these issues, why policy is changing to address these issues, and how successful those policy changes ultimately are in solving the problem. But I want us to keep separate the question of the settlement, which has been agreed upon, from questions around policing policy, which, while important, is somewhat separate from the question of whether or not we accept the settlement that's been agreed to. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted, and we are adjourned.